Let's turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 10. Turn our Bibles to that portion of God's Word, and then let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father in heaven, we come to Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We seek Thee for blessing upon the preaching of Thy Word tonight. We realize, O God, that we need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's presence. We need the Lord's power. As we take up Thy Word, we pray that the Word will be written on hearts. And we pray that some soul or souls tonight will come and trust in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. You'll find my text in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Those words in particular tonight, it is time to seek the Lord. Here is something vitally important. People from all over the world in recent times have made their way to Times Square in New York to see out the old year and to bring in the new year. It is the event of the year for many people. Crowds gather at that particular point, and in that particular place, people everywhere across the world in recent times have seen the end of 2016 and the beginning of 2017. The old year has gone, and the new year has begun. And already, we are well into that new year. For lots and lots of people, the old year has its distresses and its disappointments. Perhaps even for you personally, its highs and its lows, its sorrows and its happiness. A review of the year past for all of us will provide lots of different things, some good and some bad. But one thing is sure tonight, you and I cannot relive the old year or any of the old years that have gone before. We are now in 2017. And we must live in this year. We must live in the here and now. For many, the old year was, as others before, the year for living for themselves, living for self and living for sin, living for pleasure, living for position and power and prosperity. No time for God. No time for the things of God. Another year of rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have begun the new year and entered a few weeks into it in the same frame of mind. And you're determined not to change. You're resolved to continue as you've always done. To be stubborn and stiff-necked, there's no shifting of you. But as you review the old year and set out on the new one as we've done, will you not seriously consider your soul's salvation? In the context before us here, in the book of Hosea, chapter 10, we see the emptiness of Israel. He is described in verse 1 as an empty vine. In verse 3, fearing not the Lord. The sin of Israel is mentioned in verse 8. Thou hast sinned. Verse 9. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies. Verse 6, verse 13. And verse 15 speaks of Israel's great wickedness. And surely, these words could be written not only of Israel, but of Northern Ireland. They could be written over many a life, over many a home, over many a family. All of these words here written, descriptive of Israel, also describe the heart of man without God. And without hope in the world. And in the midst of all of these words that describe the sin of the people, the prophet gives this exhortation, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. And the words that I want to focus upon are the words in the middle of the text there. It is time to seek the Lord. Something vitally important. First of all, I want you to notice in this text the emphasis. It is time. There's an emphasis here upon time. And time is important. We live in the midst of time. When we speak about an old year that's passed and a new year that has begun, we are referring to the passing of time. We have sung tonight already, just recently there in our meeting, passing onward, quickly passing. And that's true of time. The first few weeks of a new year have already gone, passing onward, quickly passing. But I ask thee, whither bound? We look at our watches or our clocks and our calendars and see how quickly the day has gone, from daylight to dusk, from morning to night. The hymn writer put it like this, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. And we look at our calendars already and we see that we have reached the 15th day of January 2017, halfway through the first month of a new year. And your life and my life tonight is ebbing away with every moment, every hour and day that passes. Use your time wisely. Especially in relation to your soul. I was reading an interview that was given by a pop star who passed out into eternity just before Christmas. Maybe it was just after Christmas, I'm not sure, right about that time anyway. And he said, one of the things that I don't want ever to be is to be born again. He's now dead. He's now out into God's eternity. Use your time wisely. Especially in relation to your soul. You know what the scripture says? Why spend ye all the day idle? All the opportunities that the Lord has given to you to get right with Him, don't let them pass by. Seize the opportunity. Even the opportunity afforded to you now and come to Christ. Time. There's a great emphasis on time. You think about the shortness of time. How often we comment on this in our daily lives. Even when someone passes, we say they only had a short time. That's true of a young fellow who was killed there. It's coming from Saintfield, 18 years of age. He only had a short time on the scene of time. But this truth is brought before us in Scripture many times. You think of the words of James chapter 4, verse 14. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for, listen, a little time, and then vanisheth away. The emphasis, a little time. David said in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. Notice the emphasis again, but a step. Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Notice again the emphasis, few days. Few days. Our days, Scripture says, are like a shadow. They're like the wind. They're like the grass growing up in Psalm 90, verses 5 and 6. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Growing up. Flourishing, then cut down and withered. And so it is with life, men and women, tonight. It is but a short time, a short sojourn upon this scene of time, until we come to the end of time, as far as our life is concerned, and our pilgrimage upon this earthly scene. Shortness of time. But I want you to think tonight about the spending of time. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your time? How vital it is that you do not waste your time. I suppose when we were at school, we were told, don't be wasting your time. Don't be wasting your time. Many of us, sadly, did waste our time through school days. But how vital it is, spiritually, that you do not waste the opportunities that God in His mercy has given to you. The many times that you could have come to the Lord, but you've wasted those opportunities. You've spurned the gracious offer of God's salvation. You remember when Felix was moved by these things and Paul reasoned with him concerning the truth of the gospel of Christ, he trembled. But He said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. It wasn't convenient for Felix at that particular time. It didn't suit him to come to Christ. Maybe it doesn't suit you tonight to get saved. How will you spend your time in this year? Plenty of time for this and that. All the world will offer you, but no time for the Lord, time for business, time for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in that heart for which he died. Then I want you to think about the seizing of time. The seizing of time. You know, we've heard it used in a worldly context about seizing the moment. My friend, you need to seize the moment in relation to your soul. Because the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The Bible says on three occasions in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 5 today. If you hear, harden not your hearts. There's an emphasis, friend. There's an emphasis. Seize the moment. Come to the Lord. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. People say to me, I know I need to be saved, but not now. I will get saved later. An unknown author has given us these words. Tomorrow, he promised his conscience. Tomorrow, I mean to believe. Tomorrow, I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow, my Savior, receive. Tomorrow, I'll conquer the habits that hold me from heaven away. But ever his conscience repeated one word, and one only, today. Today, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Thus day after day it went on, until youth with its vision was gone. Till age and his passion had written the message of faith on his brow, and forth from the shadows came death. The pitiable syllable, now, now. You see, friend, there is no guarantee for any one of us that we will have a tomorrow. And that's why God says, today is the day of salvation. That's why God says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Someone has written these words, and I thought they were poignant. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. Maybe that's why they call it the present. What a gift is today. It's a present. Will you tonight see the emphasis of Scripture? Seize the moment. Because the Bible says, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. The Bible says, come, for all things are now ready. Time is not on your side. You need to act now. You need to get the matter of your soul's salvation settled right now, tonight, in this meeting, before you leave this church tonight. The emphasis, it is time. I want you to see the entreaty. Because here, secondly, we see, it is time to seek. To seek. The thought here in this word, to seek, is that of seeking, demanding, inquiring. Are you coming tonight seeking, demanding? Are you coming inquiring of the Lord? Are you coming with anxiety of heart? Are you anxious tonight? Disturbed about things, especially about your sin, especially about your soul, especially about God's salvation. You see the anxiety of that blind man in the Gospels, Bartimaeus, who cried out to Jesus as he passed by. And when they tried to silence him and get him to shut up, he cried out the more because he was anxious. Are you anxious about your soul tonight? Are you so disturbed that you cannot sleep, you cannot rest, you have no peace, you are overwhelmed with anxiety, so like Belshazzar, you are troubled, you are trembling. I was speaking to a fellow minister, in fact, minister of our Bangor church, and he was telling me about this man, long prayed for him. His wife had prayed for him probably from the inception of the work in Bangor, certainly from the early days of the work. A man rarely came to church the odd time he would have come, but because when his father died, he had promised his father, he would take his mother to church. So he went and came under conviction of sin. So much so was his conviction that not in the church, but in the place where he worked, he came to Christ. Anxiety. He was troubled about his sin. He was troubled about salvation. I was overjoyed knowing the lady concerned. I was overjoyed to hear of that wonderful answer to prayer. After all of those years, it could be 40 years, something like that. A long, long time. But now this man has come to Christ. Isn't that a wonderful answer? Anxiety of heart. Remember that jailer? The jailer came trembling to Paul and Silas in Acts 16. He was anxious. He was seeking. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He remembers Zacchaeus. He could not see Jesus because of the crowd, but such was his anxiety to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he passed by that he climbed up that sycamore tree to seek Jesus, to see Jesus. He ran to get up into that tree so that he could get a glimpse of Christ. Anxiety. But in this also there is urgency. There's urgency. Seeking. Not wasting any time. Moving swiftly. That jailer too, he called for a light. The Bible says in Acts 16:19, he sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You see, the matter of salvation is an urgent thing. It is an urgent thing, a most urgent thing, and I could not overemphasize tonight the urgency of this matter. You cannot afford to sit on your hands any longer. You cannot afford to procrastinate or to put off, as Felix did, as we noted earlier. There's no evidence here in Hosea chapter 10 that Israel was going to act urgently. They were continuing in their wickedness. These metaphors that are used in the book of Hosea, and by the way, the book of Hosea, if you study it, it is full of metaphors describing Israel's backsliding from God, wandering from God, wickedness against God, wantonness of life. They were content as they were. They were continuing in their wickedness. They were totally complacent in the case of their backsliding from God. And all the while they were wandering further and further away. They were getting colder and colder, trusting in their own way. Verse 13. The idolatry was increasing. The idols were being reared up on every hand. No urgency. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you have backslidden as Israel had backslidden. And your heart is as cold as stone tonight. As far as your spiritual life is concerned, you're away from God. You're not where you used to be. You're not where you need to be. You need urgency tonight in your heart to get right with God and to turn away from your backsliding and your wandering, your wickedness of life, to get back to the Lord tonight. I meet more backsliders more and more every day. People that have backslidden from God. Have you backslidden tonight? Thank God there's a way back. In other words, married to the backslider. You can be restored tonight. It's an urgent matter. But then not only is there here anxiety, the thought, and the thought of urgency, but there's also the thought of fervency. Doing something with all of one's heart. You see, in this word seek there is the thought of demanding. Demanding. And demanding is really seeking. Is seeking from a fervent heart, no holding back, crying out from the depths of one's soul, the heart's desire being expressed like the woman who cried out, "Lord, help me!" That's what she said. "Lord, help me!" Is that your cry tonight? Have you that fervency right now to seek as you've never sought before, to entreat the Lord as you've never entreated Him before, to seek with a whole heart? Oh, friend, away with insincerity. Away with that. It will not bring you salvation, nor will it bring you restoration if you're a backslider. There are many who engage in insincerity today. Decision, it means nothing. Means nothing. An emotional move in a moment, it means nothing. My friend, this is about really seeking the Lord. Seek Him with your whole heart. Seek Him with fervency tonight. As much as you cannot bear it if your voice would not be heard. You cannot bear it. Your voice would not be heard. It is time to seek. It's time to seek the Lord tonight. And so there's the emphasis here. There's the entreaty here. But then there's the entreated here. It is time to seek the Lord. Here is the one we are to seek, the Lord. Who were Israel seeking? They were seeking idols. They had made images, verse 1. The altars of false religion were everywhere. And the true God, Jehovah, was not honored. He was dishonored. His name, his worship was defiled. And that's what's happening in Ulster tonight. And that's what's happening in this world tonight. Everywhere we look in this world, as far as religion is concerned, we have the Baal worship, we have the false idols reared up on every hand. What a shameful state of affairs it is. It is so amongst us today, the shameful worship of idols is increasing and intensifying. Will you seek the Lord tonight? Will you seek the Lord? Will you honor him tonight by worshiping him in spirit and in truth? You see, we discover here Israel's heart was divided. They were found to be faulty. They were no longer true worshipers of the Lord. Is your heart divided tonight? Is it found to be faulty? Oh, may you return to seek the Lord with all of your heart. May you say right now in this meeting, before God, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship. Oh, he is the only one that can help us tonight. You need to seek him. In him alone is salvation. No idols can help you tonight. No amount of idolatry can help us. You see the prophets of Baal there in 1 Kings 18 with all their frantic attempts to get the answer from their false god. But the word of God tells us in 1 Kings 18:29, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. That word regarded means any that paid attention. Nobody paid attention. Nobody to hear. But in contrast, there was the simple yet sincere request of Elijah. It wasn't a long prayer. It's a very simple prayer. A very short prayer. But as we said, very sincere. And God answered. God answered. And God will answer your prayer tonight. You think of the publican who cried, Lord, be merciful to me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was just a very simple prayer. You don't need to multiply words, friend. You cry simply. I was reading today, Spurgeon's reading for today. Lord, save me. That was a reading for today. That was a very simple prayer of Peter. And he was sinking. Lord, save me. Will you pray that prayer tonight? The psalmist lifted his eyes to the hills. From whence cometh his help? His help came from the Lord. Psalm 121. Will you lift your eyes to the Lord tonight? Right now. Here tonight in this church service. And if you seek the Lord truly, then he will come, the Bible says here, and rain righteousness upon you. What blessings come to those who seek the Lord? What grace is given to those who seek the Lord? We are clothed in righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? We're given the garment of salvation. All the old garments of sin, defiled as they are discarded. We are given the robe of his righteousness. You remember the repentant prodigal. He's returning to the Father's house. He's confessing his sins to the Father. And the Father said in Luke 15:22, bring forth the best robe and put it on. Bring forth the best robe and put it on. Righteousness. Righteousness. The imputed righteousness of Christ. The garment of God's salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that Christ is made unto us righteousness. Righteousness. May Christ be your righteousness tonight. It will only happen if you seek the Lord. Remember, dear friends, it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. I was reading the story of a gentleman who was standing by Niagara. If you've ever stood there, amazing sight. Amazing thing of had the opportunity once of being there and seeing that magnificent sight. He looked there and he saw an eagle swoop down upon a frozen lamb encased in a piece of floating ice. The eagle stood upon it as it drifted towards the rapids. And every now and then the eagle would proudly lift its head and look around as much as to say, I'm drifting towards danger. I know what I'm doing. I will fly away and make good my escape before it's too late. When he reached the edge, he stooped, he spread his powerful wings, he leaped for flight. But alas, while he was feeding on the carcass, his feet had frozen to its fleece. That eagle, if you've ever seen an eagle, gigantic bird, it leaped, it shrieked, it spread its wings and beat upon the ice with its wings until it went over into the chasm in the darkness. People say, I have plenty of time. I have plenty of time to get saved. I can deal with this some other time. I'm young, or I'm healthy. People even in their 70s and 80s say this to me. Plenty of time you have. And like that eagle, you can leave it too late. Too late. Too late. It'll be the cry of doomed sinners. Oh, I urge you tonight. It is time to seek the Lord. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. We're turning in our hymn books to our closing hymn 225. 225 in our hymn book. And we will stand and sing this hymn tonight. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as He knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let Him in? And then at the end of the hymn it says in verse 4, room and time. Now I give to Jesus, soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart be cold and silent, thy Saviour's pleading cease. Oh, be in time tonight. Seek the Lord now. 225, we'll stand after the introduction and sing this hymn together. Seek the Lord. Just a matter of months ago, in one of our Sunday morning services, a lady who I didn't know how she stood, I must be honest, of the Lord. But as I preached the Sunday morning in the gallery, that lady was sitting and she came to the door and she said, "Mr. Schneider, as you preached, I came to the Lord. I trusted the Savior." And just a few months later, I was on my way up past Roselawn Cemetery up to Ballygan, the road. My car phone rang and I answered. It was her son, this lady's son. She said, "Mr. Smiley, can you come? My mother's died. 55 years of age. Out into God's eternity. My friend, it is time to seek the Lord. Seek him tonight. If we be any help to you, we're here, your servant, for Jesus' sake. We've got God's word, a little booklet, A New Beginning. These were the answers in relation to salvation. Assurance of salvation, how you can live the Christian life. Happy to give you that little booklet, but most of all tonight, we're happy to lead you to Christ. Come to the Savior. Trust him now."